Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt.
Oh, you had a little tickle.
Oh, I had a little like gurgle in my throat. Listen, well, Matt, you are on the final stretch of the school year.
We're down in single digits.
Is it? Do you feel it in the air?
Oh,
is
my
it
goodness!
Like everyone wants to be done.
It is the most palpable feeling that you could ever feel. It's like going, have you ever been on a vacation with someone where you know it's been too long and like you love them, but it's time to be done. That's what it's like. And it is such a feeling. Like I seriously, every day, the last couple weeks of school are like everybody just keep it together. Just like hold it together. We're so close.
Yeah.
Just hold it together. Well, and I think everybody's done.
And truly, and this is no shade at women at all, but it is a very large number of women in a area. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of women teachers.
You're saying facts.
There's not all men. Not all women, but right. Few men here and there,
yeah.
You know, salt and peppered in, but sure. Very few. But with that amount of women, mm-hmm, in a space, in, mm-hmm, a building, I would think by the end of the year, it, yeah, is time for.
Well, you're saying it. I did not say that. But you are saying things.
Well, I mean, it's just, that's the way we are. That's the way human beings are. Mm. That's the way women are. Like women, that amount of women in a building for that amount of time.
Yeah.
It's just time for a little break.
If you say so, Leanne, if you say so. Here's what I'll say too. Is there's a lot of feelings because it is, when I was a teacher, it's legitimately hard. You spend so much time with these kids, mm-hmm, and you invest, mm-hmm, so much energy. Mm-hmm. It is hard to say goodbye. So there's a lot of different kinds of emotions happening, mm-hmm, and it's a lot. So, yep, we're there. We're in the home stretch.
Yeah, in the home stretch.
I feel it.
Your good day?
My good day is this last weekend was seeing my daughter, Remy. You know, she tried something new. You know, I'm baseball dad, mm-hmm, by day. I'm dance dad by night.
I know you got all those sunflower seeds.
I know I got seeds. Yeah. But I'm also like, Remy tried something new this year where she did dance and
she had a little dance recital.
You know, she loves the practices, but she's still a little hesitant about stage. But you know what she said this weekend is she said, "Dad, I'm facing one of my fears in getting on stage." And I thought that was so cool.
She literally said, "I'm facing one of my fears."
Facing one of my fears. Listen,
in your home have no chance that with their verbal.
I know.
with their verbal.
It's like when Fitz,
intelligence.
I know.
It's when Fitz said, "I'm
disappointed.
Yeah, I'm not sad. I'm disappointed. I'm like, wow."
Yeah, she. You know, it's just. It's interesting. She's been into asking Mallory, for whatever reason, what her biggest fear is. Like one day, a couple weeks on the way to school, she said, "Mom, what's your biggest fear?"
Oh, wow.
And Mallory thought about it. I'm like, you guys are talking about this at 7:15 in the morning? Like, get a coffee. But she said, Mallory said, "My fear is that I'm not going to be able to watch my kids grow up." Wow. That would be one of my biggest fears right now. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
Listen, don't sleep on kids because that sounded weird. Like, think about what kids are saying because kids are more intuitive than we think.
Oh,
they ask bigger questions than we think. Give them credit.
It's so true.
Because kids are, they're in tune more than we think they are.
Yeah, it's true. So are cats.
Well, okay. Not the same for me, but there's a bridge there.
My future daughter-in-law, MG, texted me the other day because we started letting Mr. Butters outside.
Okay.
It's a big step for us. And he
like
goes
on
out.
A leash?
No. He just goes outside.
What if
I just
he
open the
back?
Door? Well, you know, that's a chance I'm taking because he's been a little naughty.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what?
If he wants to get fed, he'll come home.
MG feels like he could need more stimulation, needs more a different environment, more sounds and sights.
That's fair.
So he's been going outside. And she said to me, cats are so much smarter than we give them credit for. And so are kids.
Well, I... this is a lot to unpack, but I don't feel the same level of commitment to children as I do to cats.
It just reminded me of it when you said it. I think it just speaks to sometimes we just underestimate things, Matt.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, we could do a whole podcast just on that, on how we underestimate our children, how we underestimate ourselves, how we underestimate our pastor or our partner or our cat.
Sure.
You know, I was with
you till the cat, but that's fine. That's fine. We'll unpack that
up
a later
day. Will say he's been doing great and loves it.
How does he know when to come home?
I think he just gets, almost gets, well, that, and I think he just kind of gets tired of being outside because he's literally outside now. Each day every day has been nice. We've let him out and he's out more than 4 hours.
Well, Butters, come home.
Mr. Butters, he's loving.
All right, what's your good day?
My good day is recently we went to Newark, Ohio, because Daryl was looking at a job there. And while we were there, we were only 25 minutes from Easton. Mm. So we went to Easton and met Joey, our youngest son, and his girlfriend, Emma, for supper at North Star.
Oh.
North Star, if you are listening.
Listen, I have something to say.
Such a great place.
North Star is like the Disney of like brunch places. And I have one example I want to point to.
Okay.
If you get coffee at North Star, they have all their mugs preheated.
Preheated
mugs.
They're on a heat pad.
That's like, I'm the king of England. Yeah. Like, who preheats my mug?
They do.
They do. North Star Cafe.
Yeah, shout out North Star. It's it's a solid choice for lunch, for dinner. So we met them for dinner, and we just had such a nice, normal evening.
Sure.
You know, we just had just a nice evening talking and visiting.
You know, I think this just reminds me of the essence of our podcast is it's normal, but it's not.
Right.
Because here's the reality. There's someone listening here. Maybe it's a child or maybe it's a parent that's like, I would love to just have a normal dinner with my parent. Yeah. Or I would love to just have a conversation with my child. And it is normal, but it's also so special and precious.
It's so
too.
Extraordinary. It is. And so we just had a nice visit and then we were getting ready to leave and it just squeezed my heart. Joey goes, Mom, you know, I would love a good book. And I said, you would? And then he like raised his eyebrows and we were standing in front of Barnes & Noble.
Like the old days.
Like the old days.
Where you're like, let's go get some books for you.
I said, let's do it. And he's like, no, that's okay. I said, no, let's do it. And so we went in and we bought a book that each of us would want to read with the intention of he reads his, I read mine, and then we swap. And it was just so sweet. And guess what? He paid.
Aw.
He paid.
That's
so
sweet.
It was just sweet. That it was just a sweet evening. We went home and Daryl and I are just like two little proud old people talking about our kids on the way home and just excited for their futures and excited for them.
I love that. You know, I'm going to be there someday. I'm going to be there someday.
You are.
Where we're taking them out to dinner.
You are, but right now you're baseball dance dad.
I'm baseball dad. I'm baseball dance dad. I'm spitting seeds and spinning tiaras. I don't know.
That's right.
Hey, let's talk about food. All right. You brought something. Listen, let's call him our boss.
Okay.
Can we call him our boss?
Well,
boss, Matt Keeler at Walnut Creek Foods. We said, Matt, we got to try these drinks.
Yes. They've got new drinks.
They've got drinks.
Where did you see this again? Because
you saw
it before I did. Okay. I just wasn't keyed in.
I know.
I did not see it. And then the next time I went into Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, there's a whole, let me just say. We could, for the next several weeks, try drinks.
Yes.
Like, literally try. And you're such a drink boy.
I'm a drink boy.
You are a drink boy.
I don't know. If people have been here since the beginning, they know. I love bubble drinks.
Oh, you love drinks.
I love seltzers.
I'm not. I'm
love Fresca.
I'm pretty much water, coffee, frothy coffee. I'm water, frothy coffee. That's it. But I will jump on the drink wagon with you.
Thank you.
I will.
Thank you.
And you have given me Fresca before. And you've given me, like, is it called a case thing when the cart?
12-pack?
You give me of a 12-pack. And I literally, after about 5 months of having it, I gave it back to you.
I know. That's shocking. That is shocking. All right. Listen.
Okay.
You brought us a drink, and it is Mud Valley Drinks.
Yes. Let's we're do gonna a cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to Matt Keeler and Walnut
Creek
Cheese.
Yes, we love you, Matt Keeler. Wait, right. We have to do it where they hear the clink. Yep, clink.
It was kind of...
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom. Well, these are big, like, big glasses.
Mm. That's some tart.
This is their lemonade.
Lemonade.
Now, I don't think it's too tart.
No, it's... But I like it.
I like it too. It's the perfect amount of sweet and the perfect amount of
tart.
Here's
the thing. When you're driving around Amish country, you brought this up. We were talking about it. When you're driving around Amish country, especially when you're shopping, you're cheesing, you're Walnut Creeking.
Yes.
You're doing all the things. Yeah, sometimes you just want a drink.
Yeah.
And this is a great place to stop in and get a drink, get a little drinky drink.
And they have some zero sugar ones that we'll try. But they really have an incredible selection of drinks. And we were saying this earlier, you know, before we started recording, that it's interesting that Walnut Creek Foods would have a drink line.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's not surprising because there are a lot of customers that come through those locations.
That's right.
Especially in the summer when it's hot and you're wanting something good and cold to drink.
That's right.
And I love that they're in glass bottles.
Yes. I love glass. I love a glass bottle.
I do. I love a glass bottle. Yeah. I feel like a glass bottle is showing a little extra attention.
Yeah, it says elegant.
So
it says intention.
It does. It's good. This is good.
It's giving like, I'm not an afterthought. I'm an intentional drink.
Yes. Yeah. Well, shout out Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, Walnut Creek Foods. Thank you for being our official sponsor. You know that we love you. We've loved you from the start.
Listen, I loved you then. I loved you now. I've loved you and everything in between.
We're going to love you in the future.
That's right.
Yep.
Hey, today we're talking all about what does it mean to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this came from you. This was one of your ideas. And so set us up. You have a couple things that you were thinking about.
Well, I love, you know that I love driving around with the top down in the bug.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little Volkswagen bug.
You sure do.
It's not new. It's a little older.
But I
have named her.
I don't know if I knew that.
No, it's newer. I could not decide between the two names, and I've named her Penny.
Oh, that's cute.
And Penny's she's a little old girl.
Okay.
But she gets it done, and that car brings me so much joy. I love listening to music in that car. And it was your influence that has kind of reminded me to look up soundtracks, listen to soundtracks.
That makes me so happy.
So I've been listening to The Greatest Showman soundtrack. And
such
there,
a good movie.
Such a good movie.
I know.
And there is a song, and there is also a video with the song online. If you know what I'm going to say, right?
It's the one where they're singing it live, right?
Yes.
It's when they do. So
and
when
she gets
when
emotional.
When people are doing a movie or a show or a musical, it's called a table read. So it's where they get the scripts and they're just sitting around in a room. Like it's a blank room.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting around, and if it's a musical, they'll stand up and sing. And so it's when the actress Kiella Settle, something like that, sings this in front of Hugh Jackman for the first time. And I remember this video.
Yes.
Like
it's
crying.
So good. Yes.
It's so good.
So good. The song is called This Is Me. And it's from The Greatest Showman soundtrack. And if you want to be screaming in your car, because it's such a good song and it resonates with everyone.
Yeah.
And so there's a portion of the song that I want to read that I feel like I want to scream it every time she sings it. And she sings it with such passion. But it's what reminded me of what does it look like to be you? Like, what does it look like to just say, this is me, this is who I am? Okay, here's this part of the song. When the sharpest words want to cut me down, I'm going to send a flood, going to drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be, this is me. Look out, because here I come, and I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me.
Mm, that's so good.
So good. And so good. I've been listening to that song, and I've been actually screaming that song at stoplights. You know, any poor semi-tractor trailer guys look down at me and they're like, wow, she's into it. But it that song just reminds me of of this topic. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it look like to be yourself?
Yeah. I think it's a really tricky thing to actually unpack and actually talk about. Because I think on one hand, being yourself is tapping into your values, mm-hmm. tapping into your personality. Mm-hmm. It's tapping into even your interests, things that you like. But also it's, I think the balance to that is we always want to become better. And we talk about that all the time here. It's, we always want to grow. We always want to evolve and we always want to change. But I think tapping into who we really are and what we love, where we've come from, our natural personalities, I think that's really, really important because I think so often I wrote down a couple examples, for me. I think so often we subscribe to what either society says we should be mm-hmm. or the people around us want us to be. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, sometimes mm-hmm. people put us into a box mm-hmm. and that can be really, really hard. You know, when I think about what society wants us to be, I think so often there's a picture of what, for whatever reason, my mind goes to parenting and towards like life in the home, mm-hmm. but there is a profile of what a dad looks like. There's a profile of what a mom looks like. There's a profile of a husband. There's a profile of a wife. And you know, one of my biggest frustrations, growing up was, watching these dumb dads on TV, you know, the sitcom dads mm-hmm. where I was like, ugh, what there's, why are they so dumb? Or they just sit around and watch sports right. They're gross and they're dirty and they're, and I remember being like, that's not me. That's not who I am. Right, you know, I'm not a dad that
is absent or doesn't know anything that's going on with their kids.
Right. I'm a dad that can teach my kids like what's the difference between sad and disappointed or having a deep conversation with my kids. And that's who I am. That's what I'm going to bring to the table in my fatherhood. And it might look different than 10 other dads around me, but that's who I am. And it's tapping into my gifts, mm-hmm. my personal greatness, my interests. You know, I'm going to be the dad that literally my kids and I sometimes talk about Disney facts. I know it's silly to some people, but that's something we find interesting is when they're creating something new or the ideas behind stuff or engineering things. But that's what I bring and that's who I am. And I think sometimes it's easy to compare and say, oh man, I should be more like X, Y, and Z. Instead of tapping into who we really are. Mm. Yeah. And I think that's just so important. You know, I think we tell ourselves so many lies, whether it's from society or from the people around us, when really we need to tap into who we are and what that looks like.
I also think that I'm a little bit ahead of you. How much older than you?
Like 16 years.
I'm 16 years older than
you.
Yeah. And I think that I started in my late 40s, definitely in my 50s, being more confident in who I am, mm-hmm. like being like, this is who I am. Like,
sure.
Like, I, like 15 years ago, I would have never confessed on a podcast that I had a craving for a cigarette I pulled over and I bought a pack.
can I add something to this? Because I think you also in your, during this time period, if we look at, this is so funny. If we look at even my friendship with you for the last 18 years or so, a lot's changed in your life.
Yes.
You know, when I first met you, you were under a really unhealthy family structure with your parents.
Yes. I was just breaking free from that.
You were in a family business that consumed your life. You had some things about church, some hangups about church and faith that you've worked through. You've also grown. So it's not even, I don't think it's necessarily that you've been more yourself. It's that you've changed your influences. You've changed some outlooks. You've changed some perspectives. You've gained some perspectives.
Right.
You've lived through some really huge hurts. You've, you know, worked out like, what does it mean to be hurt by Christians that you trusted? You know, what does it mean to be hurt by parents and disappointed by your parents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've also evolved and changed. So it wasn't like nothing in your life has changed and all of a sudden you're like, this is me. It's like you've wrestled with it too. It wasn't just epiphany.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And I still feel, I feel like there could always be an area in your life that you're wrestling with or learning more about or discovering, you know. And I think that what I see looking over the landscape of my life is, for a long time, I was trying to really please everyone around me.
Right.
You know,
right.
I was trying to be the person, to your point earlier, I was trying to be the person that I thought everybody else wanted me to be.
Well, here's the problem. Every person in your life is going to want you to be whatever they want.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you can get so caught up in that.
So true.
That you don't even know who you are anymore.
So true.
You know, I think that is a hard part, because I think if you, you know, using you as an example, your parents weren't together. So you had, your mom probably mm-hmm. had something mm-hmm. she wanted mm-hmm. you to be. Your dad had right. something. You right. had siblings. You had a husband and children that had expectations of you. None of that's wrong. That's just who they expected you to be something.
Right.
If you are always catering to those things, if you're always like, oh, who does mom want me to be? If that's in conflict with anything else, you're going to be like a tennis ball mm-hmm. bouncing around yeah. because
right.
you're always trying to figure out what people want from you instead of embracing right. who you are and running with it.
And I think what happens, and maybe some of you can identify with this, you feel pulled in so many different directions.
Totally.
You feel like if you're pleasing these few, you're upsetting these few.
Absolutely.
You know, and you feel like a ping pong ball or a tennis sure. ball. And I think it's why I will always keep pointing people to counseling.
Sure.
If you identify with that, where you feel like I can't please anyone.
Right.
There's always somebody unhappy with me.
Right.
You know, I think the more we get to know who we are and we stand in the confidence of who we are, the less we are trying to people please.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we can love people around us. I think we can love people around us while being ourselves and not agreeing about everything in every area.
Right, right.
I have somehow told myself over the years that, you know, really when you are in community with people is when everyone is liking you. You are,
yeah.
you know, you're doing everything you should.
Yep.
You know, you are in a small, you know, in Christian faith, it's like you're volunteering, you're in a small group,
right.
you're leading something. You're definitely going to be, you know, saying, hey, do you need an extra volunteer at Easter? You know, you're
right.
just doing all the right things. When now I feel a little bit more like I'm going to do those things if I feel led to do those things.
Sure.
I'm not going to just do those things to please other people.
Sure. That's really good. You know, I think that when I think about being yourself and being authentic, for me, it's about living in alignment with your inner value system. Wherever your values come from, it's living in alignment with that. And mm-hmm. it's embracing the unique qualities, quirks, and imperfections about yourself, too.
Mm, that's good.
You know, I think sometimes we strive so much to be something else rather than what we are
mm-hmm.
that we can lose sight on, no, this is really who I am. Like, this is who I am. You know, a great example for me is there have been seasons in my 40 long years of life where I'm like, I'm too emotional, I'm too dramatic, or I'm too expressive. And, you know, I've lost cares to give about that.
Right.
Because this is truly who I am. And I think the other thing, oh, this is good. I think the other thing that helps us with that is as we get older and we show people who we really are, and we get affirmation of that, not in
correct,
a pat
right,
on the back.
Right.
So like
right,
the
right,
what
right.
made this go into my head was, you know, for me, I used to feel at times like my intuitiveness with people and my emotional sensitivity was a burden. But then as I live in my authentic self, I see that it can be a huge asset.
Right.
You know, and I think sometimes like for you, I'll speak on your behalf. I think there may have been times where your outgoing personality or the way that you can easily connect with people, that you may have felt like, oh, that's a burden. People think I'm too much. People think I'm too this, too that.
Sure.
But then as you, the longer that you live in your authentic self, the more affirmations come to you where people go, hey, thank you for being the one to
speak up.
Or, hey, thank you. Like for me, in my example, it's thank you for being vulnerable, because I was a little bit nervous to be vulnerable or to share something. And after you did it, it really helped me have courage. And so I think that's not affirmation in a pat on the back or like a do what I want you to do kind of way. That's affirmation in a, when you live in your authentic self and it can be an asset to the people around you. That's when I feel like that's the intersection of like where being myself really feels good.
Yeah. It starts to click together.
Yeah.
And I also think you start finding the people, that bring out the best in you.
Totally.
You start finding the people that say, oh, this is something I love about you. Mm-hmm. This is something like I celebrate about you.
Right. Well, and what's funny about us is because our friendship's so unique in some ways, especially doing the podcast, is I'm not a type A person, but compared to you, I am.
Right.
And you are such a big dreamer that sometimes you say stuff that I'm like, oh, that gives me anxiety even thinking about it. But we respect that about each other and we honor that about each other. And I can look at you and say, man, without you, this could make me emotional. Man, without you pushing and dreaming bigger, we wouldn't be here today. And you could say to me, without your little spreadsheets and you saying, hey, let's get two in the hopper, we wouldn't be where we are today. And so I think it's finding those people and saying, hey, our uniqueness can be an asset to each other. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be in conflict with each other, too. Mm-hmm. So, oh, man, this is good. This is a good conversation. Yeah. I think, too, there's a huge part of our being who ourselves that before
you mean we, being ourselves,
being yourself. Okay. Yeah. Being yourself before we can stand up and say, look out, here I come. You know, the lyrics that you shared before we say any of that, I think we have to come at peace with who we are in our hearts first.
1000%.
I think we have to grow into being like, you know what? I'm a type A person and I like that about myself.
Yes. Listen, Matt, do you think, I mean, I know we talk about therapy a lot, but I feel like in some ways, I feel like almost everyone needs time with a therapist or time with a clinician or a clinical counselor, because I never, before I started counseling, I never talked about things like that. Like, who are you at your core? Well, what, like sometimes Maureen would look at me and say, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about that?
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, well, I feel this way. Well, have you said that?
Right.
No.
Right.
Well, why aren't you saying that?
Right.
Well, because I feel like it's not going to be received. Well, that doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, that's not the point. The point is that you need to say how you feel.
Right.
And I think part of this conversation involves the people around you.
Mm.
Because I think the more, and I told you at Breakfast Club, that I feel that Breakfast Club is something that happened 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I posted an egg sandwich on Facebook and someone said, when can I come over for one? And I said, Friday morning. And there was four of us.
Right.
And so we meet about once every 8 weeks and we really just kind of, we do a little bit of a round robin thing where everybody takes a turn and everybody just catches each other up on topics. And we all really just say what's going on and say exactly how we feel. There's no judgment. Mm-hmm. There's just, you know, we say how we feel. And recently at Breakfast Club, one of us was sharing and one of us started apologizing after we were sharing, like, I'm sorry. I'm saying all that. I'm sorry that I feel that way. And I said, why are you apologizing?
Yeah.
Don't apologize for how you feel. It's how you feel.
Right.
And I think part of being yourself and being allowed to be yourself is the people around you giving you permission and saying, say it, be yourself, say how you feel, be who you are. And I am still going to be here.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to be your friend and I'm still going to love you and I'm still going to celebrate you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to shame you. I'm going to just love you.
Right.
Because listen, here's the thing. People don't wake up, like if you're in Christian faith, people don't wake up disciples overnight.
You know, that's good.
You know, people are growing and changing in their walk with their faith and with Jesus and with God and with the higher power every single day. And our role should always be just to point people in that direction.
Sure.
Not to make them feel judged or dumb or that they should feel sorry for how they're feeling.
Sure.
So I think we have to ask ourselves, like, who am I? Who is my true self? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important if you start asking yourself those questions. Who am I really? I actually don't believe anything this guy is saying on Sunday morning, or I'm struggling with half of it. Find people you can say that to and you can talk to about that if you're a believer, you're a Christian.
Right.
If you start to surround yourself with people that help you get to know who you are at your core, mm-hmm. that's how you can be yourself then.
Yeah.
Because you're around people that are allowing you to be yourself.
Right.
But I think back to your question, back to your statement of finding out who you really are, like asking yourself, who am I? Like deep down, who am I at my core? Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could have ever come to that without a clinical counselor or without therapy, without help, because that wasn't on the bingo card.
Well, I think,
that wasn't something I explored.
To what we've talked about with your journey is, man, you had a lot of external forces telling you who you should be.
Yes.
And no doubt there is someone listening that is going, well, that's great. I have no idea who I am because I went from an overbearing family system, an overbearing faith structure,
or a family that doesn't care at all.
Right. And then into parenthood, where I was trying to be everything for everybody else, and then into a job where I was trying to be everything for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I'm 45 years old. I'm 55 years old. I'm 65 years old. And I don't even know who I am. And I think that takes a little bit of exploration under the tutelage of a counselor would be great, but also just start trying stuff.
Right,
like if
right,
you're like,
right.
Hey, I remember, tap into those things from childhood that made you feel alive.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you can go that far and go, hey, I remember loving art class.
Right.
Go buy some colored pencils and a coloring book and start something.
Right.
Or if you're like, I really feel alive when I'm outside. Maybe you need to buy a pair of hiking boots and say, I'm going to get into nature.
Yep.
You know, whatever those things are that you've said, you've put off for some reason, just start trying stuff.
Yeah,
and if you buy a $10 watercolor set, it's $10. And you go, I don't really like that as much as I thought. Right. That's okay. You know, and I think we need to try stuff too, because I think sometimes we get so stuck in the role that we're playing, or we get so stuck in who we think we are, that we don't experiment and try new things, like new hobbies, or even exploring other perspectives on the world.
Or going places.
Like, we just start exploring things.
Yeah.
Because I think you'll find out what sticks.
Good.
I think when you get that excited or that joyful feeling or that alive feeling, and you're like, oh, that's one of the things.
Think about it. How long ago was it that you started going back to Disney? I mean, you didn't go there all your life every year.
No. Maybe like 4 years ago.
Only four?
Yeah. It was after COVID.
Was that the first time after COVID?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did that? What made you say, we're going to go there? I want to do
Well, this is a whole story, but we went to Legoland in Florida because my kids loved Legoland. And we came into downtown Disney area. And came into the Disney store, and our kids just kind of came alive. And Mallory and I were like, okay, we have such great memories as kids. You know, we were always into Disney movies. And so we kind of tapped into one of those kid things. Yeah. And it's just been one of the things our family likes. And
yeah, that's awesome.
I think for me, and I know we talk about this a lot, but there is some seriousness to it. For me, I know it might sound silly to some people, but Disney does bring me joy. It is a place that I feel like has bonded my family together. Yeah. It's like a neutral place that's like fun and exciting. And I think when you find those things, it's okay to love them.
Well, and I think it also taps into your love of entertainment and music.
Sure.
And the whole Broadway feel.
Sure.
And the whole characters, all of that. Yeah. And I think Yeah, I think it's important to revisit the things that you love, if, especially if they have been kind of on a shelf for a while.
Sure.
It helps us. It helps us remember who we are.
Uh-huh.
But it also helps. I think it helps us to continue to cultivate our true self.
Yeah.
Like who we really
and
are.
And you know, this is a good place. I love the phrase, "Don't yuck someone else's yum." Yeah, I love that phrase.
That's Gracie Pelosi, Dan Pelosi.
Like, don't yuck people's yum. Because don't here's the thing. When someone's excited about something, I truly don't care about a lot of things. Like, there are things I don't care about. I don't care a whole lot about sports, obviously, unless my kids are in it. You know, I don't care. I don't know. I don't really care a lot about fashion. I do care about food. But but I think those are those things where when someone expresses something about who they are, something they love, something they're excited about, I think there's a temptation to give our opinion on it or to say like,
right.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
No.
What you have to do is say, well, what do you love about it?
Right.
You know who is so right. good at this? That's our friend.
Yeah.
Kat. Because our friend Kat, one of the things that she hates that I tease her about, it's one of our things. She hates musicals. She hates theater. She likes plays.
Right.
Doesn't like the whole singing and dancing part of plays. But you know what?
I don't think I knew that.
Oh yeah, she doesn't. No, she's not into that. And I love where she will ask inquisitive questions about things, and she'll be like, "I am so glad that you love that. What do you love about
it?
Tell me what." Because for her, and here's what I love about this: it's pulling out the details don't matter to her. You know, the details of this actress did this or this.
Right.
You know, even Disney stuff. But what she's getting at that I appreciate is she loves seeing people that she loves excited about something.
Yes.
And I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah,
is
good.
Surround yourself with people.
Yes.
This might be my parting shot.
Okay.
Surround yourself with people that love watching you love life.
Yeah.
Love the things around you. Yeah. Live in yourself. They don't have to like the same things as you, but if they can support you and love you and encourage you and just love watching you come alive, those are people that you want in your corner and that you want to stick around.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
I asked Kat, I ask everybody in our counselor cluster actually to give me their thoughts of what it looks like to be yourself. And Kat literally gave me, Kat is as a counselor, she gave me one sentence: looks. That's what she put. It looks like this, basically. She put looks. Liberating with the side of being misunderstood.
Mm.
When we are ourselves, so often we can be misunderstood. Yeah. And I think part of the misunderstanding is wanting a person to be what you think they should be, right?
Totally.
But I do think it's part of my 50s. It has felt liberating in my 50s to be more like, this is who I am. This is what I believe. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
And not everybody has to agree with it. And it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I think my parting shot is to encourage people to really dig deeper into who you are and to really love who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to hide who you are.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you have to hide who you are with the people that you're around, it might be time to be asking Jesus to bring different people into your life.
Yeah.
Because the people that love you and the people that want the best for you want you to be who you are.
Yeah.
So, and you know, of course I'm going to say counseling, I think, is the best way to dig down and get underneath the hood of it.
Totally. That's so good. Hey, well, thank you for joining us in this conversation all about being yourself. My hope is that you have leaned into yourself, love your quirks, mm-hmm. and embrace the weirdness about yourself, because mm-hmm. it's what makes mm-hmm. our life mm-hmm. so rich and beautiful. Yes. Hey, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.